Chapter 4. Originated in a sudden vivid reminiscence of the baby. They were succeeded by a gentle tap at the door. Mrs. Chick, apostrophe said a very bland female voice outside. How are you now, my dear friend? Apostrophe, apostrophe, my dear Paul, apostrophe said Louia in a low voice, as she rose from her seat. It's Miss Tox. The kindest creature. I never could have got here without her. Miss Tox, my brother Mr. Domney. Paul, my dear, my very particular friend Miss Tox. Apostrophe, the lady thus specially presented, was a long lean figure, wearing such a faded air, that she seemed not to have been made in, what linen drapers call fast colors originally, and to have, by little and little, washed out. But for this, she might have been described as the very pink of general propitiation and politeness. From a long habit of listening admiringly to everything that was said in her presence, and looking at the speakers, as if she were mentally engaged, and taking off impressions of their images upon her soul, never to part with the same but with life, her head had quite settled on one side. Her hands had contracted a spasmodic habit of raising themselves of their own accord as in involuntary admiration. Her eyes were liable to a similar affection. She had the softest voice that ever was heard, and her nose, stupendously aquiline, had a little knob in the very center or keystone of the bridge, whence it tended downwards towards her face, as in an invincible determination never to turn up at anything. Miss Tox's dress, though perfectly genteel and good, had a certain character of angularity and scantiness. She was accustomed to wear odd, weedy little flowers in her bonnets and caps. Strange grasses were sometimes perceived in her hair, and it was observed by the curious, of all her collars, frills, tuckers, wristbands, and other gossamer articles, indeed of everything she wore which had two ends to it intended to unite, that the two ends were never on good terms, and wouldn't quite meet without a struggle. She had furry articles for winter wear, as tippets, boas, and muffs, which stood up on end in rampant manner, and were not at all sleek. She was much given to the carrying about of small bags with snaps to them, that went off like little pistols, when they were shut up, and when full dressed, she wore round her neck the barrenest of lockets, representing a fishy old eye, with no approach to speculation in it. These and other appearances of a similar nature had served to propagate the opinion that Miss Tox was a lady of what is called a limited independence, which she turned to the best account. Possibly her mincing gait encouraged the belief, and suggested that her clipping a step of ordinary compass into two or three originated in her habit of making the most of everything. I am sure, apostrophe said Miss Tox, with a prodigious curtsy, that to have the honor of being presented to Mr. Domney is a distinction which I have long sought, but very little expected at the present moment. My dear Mrs. Chick, may I say Louia? Apostrophe, apostrophe, Mrs. Chick took Miss Tox's hand in hers, rested the foot of her wine glass upon it, repressed a tear, and said in a low voice, God bless you. Apostrophe, apostrophe, my dear Louia then, apostrophe said Miss Tox, my sweet friend, how are you now? Apostrophe, apostrophe, better, apostrophe Mrs. Chick returned. Take some wine. You have been almost as anxious as I have been, and must want it, I am sure. Apostrophe, Mr. Domney of course officiated, and also refilled his sister's glass, which he, looking another way, and unconscious of his intention, held straight and steady the while, and then regarded with great astonishment, saying, my dear Paul, what have you been doing? Apostrophe, apostrophe, Miss Tox, Paul, apostrophe pursued Mrs. Chick, still retaining her hand. Knowing how much I have been interested in the anticipation of the event of today, and how trembly and shaky I have been from head to foot in expectation of it, has been working at a little gift for Fanny, which I promised to present. Miss Tox's ingenuity itself. Apostrophe, my dear Louia, apostrophe said Miss Tox. Don't say so. It is only a pincushion for the toilet table. Paul, apostrophe resumed his sister. One of those trifles which are insignificant to your sex in general, as it's very natural they should be. We have no business to expect they should be otherwise, but to which we attach some interest. Miss Tox is very good, apostrophe said Mr. Dombey. And I do say, and will say, and must say, apostrophe pursued his sister, pressing the foot of the wine glass on Miss Tox's hand, at each of the three clauses, that Miss Tox has very prettily adapted the sentiment to the occasion. I call welcome little Dombey poetry, myself. Apostrophe, is that the device? Apostrophe, apostrophe, inquired her brother. That is the device, apostrophe, returned Louia. But do me the justice to remember, my dear Louia, apostrophe said Miss Tox in a tone of low and earnest entreaty, that nothing but the I have some difficulty in expressing myself the dubiousness of the result would have induced me to take so great a liberty. Welcome, Master Dombey, would have been much more congenial to my feelings, as I am sure you know. But the uncertainty attendant on angelic strangers will, I hope, excuse what must otherwise appear an unwarrantable familiarity. Apostrophe Miss Tox made a graceful bend as she spoke, in favor of Mr. Dombey, which that gentleman graciously acknowledged. Even the sort of recognition of Dombey and son, conveyed in the foregoing conversation, was so palatable to him, that his sister, Mrs. Chick, though he affected to consider her a weak, good-natured person, had perhaps more influence over him than anybody else. My dear Paul, apostrophe that lady broke out afresh, after silently contemplating his features for a few moments, I don't know whether to laugh or cry when I look at you, I declare, you do so remind me of that dear baby upstairs. Apostrophe, well, apostrophe, apostrophe, said Mrs. Chick, with a sweet smile, after this, I forgive Fanny everything. Apostrophe, apostrophe, it was a declaration in a Christian spirit, and Mrs. Chick felt that it did her good. Not that she had anything particular to forgive in her sister-in-law, nor indeed anything at all, except her having married her brother in itself a species of audacity and her having, in the course of events, given birth to a girl instead of a boy. Which, as Mrs. Chick had frequently observed, was not quite what she had expected of her, and was not a pleasant return for all the attention and distinction she had met with. Mr. Dombey being hastily summoned out of the room at this moment, the two ladies were left alone together. Miss Tox immediately became spasmodic. I knew you would admire my brother. I told you so beforehand, my dear, apostrophe said Louia. Miss Tox's hands and eyes expressed how much. And as to his property, my dear, apostrophe, apostrophe, ah, apostrophe, apostrophe, said Miss Tox, with deep feeling. Immense. Apostrophe, but his deportment, my dear Louia. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Miss Tox. His presence. His dignity. No portrait that I have ever seen of anyone has been half so replete with those qualities. Something so stately, you know. So uncompromising. So very wide across the chest. So upright. A pecuniary Duke of York, my love, and nothing short of it. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Miss Tox. That's what I should designate him. Apostrophe, why, my dear Paul. Apostrophe, apostrophe, exclaimed his sister, as he returned, you look quite pale. There's nothing the matter? Apostrophe, I am sorry to say, Louia, that they tell me that Fanny, apostrophe, now, my dear Paul, apostrophe, returned his sister rising, don't believe it. Do not allow yourself to receive a turn unnecessarily. Remember of what importance you are to society, and do not allow yourself to be worried by what is so very inconsiderately told you by people who ought to know better. Really, I'm surprised at them. Apostrophe, I hope I know, Louia, apostrophe, said Mr. Dombey, stiffly, how to bear myself before the world. Apostrophe, nobody better, my dear Paul. Nobody half so well. They would be ignorant, and base indeed, who doubted it. Apostrophe, ignorant and base indeed. apostrophe apostrophe echoed Miss Tox softly. But, apostrophe pursued Luia, if you have any reliance on my experience, Paul, you may rest assured that there is nothing wanting but an effort on Fanny's part. And that effort, apostrophe she continued, taking off her bonnet and adjusting her cap and gloves in a businesslike manner, she must be encouraged and really, if necessary, urged to make. Now, my dear Paul, come upstairs with me. Apostrophe, Mr. Dombey, who, besides being generally influenced by his sister for the reason already mentioned, had really faith in her as an experienced and bustling matron, acquiesced, and followed her, at once, to the sick chamber. The lady lay upon her bed as he had left her, clasping her little daughter to her breast. The child clung close about her, with the same intensity as before, and never raised her head, or moved her soft cheek from her mother's face, or looked on those who stood around, or spoke, or moved, or shed a tear. Restless without the little girl, apostrophe the doctor whispered Mr. Dombey. We found it best to have her in again. Apostrophe, can nothing be done? Apostrophe, apostrophe, asked Mr. Dombey. The doctor shook his head. We can do no more. Apostrophe, the windows stood open, and the twilight was gathering without. The scent of the restoratives that had been tried was pungent in the room, but had no fragrance in the dull and languid air the lady breathed. There was such a solemn stillness round the bed, and the two medical attendants seemed to look on the impassive form with so much compassion and so little hope that Mrs. Chick was for the moment diverted from her purpose. But presently summoning courage, and what she called presence of mind, she sat down by the bedside, and said in the low precise tone of one who endeavors to awaken a sleeper, Fanny! Fanny! Apostrophe, there was no sound in answer, but the loud ticking of Mr. Dombey's watch and Dr. Parker Pep's watch, which seemed in the silence, to be running a race. Fanny, my dear, apostrophe said Mrs. Chick, with assumed lightness, here's Mr. Dombey come to see you. Won't you speak to him? They want to lay your little boy the baby, Fanny, you know. You have hardly seen him yet, I think, in bed. But they can't till you rouse yourself a little. Don't you think it's time you roused yourself a little? Eh? Apostrophe, she bent her ear to the bed, and listened. At the same time looking round at the bystanders, and holding up her finger. Eh? Apostrophe, apostrophe, she repeated. What was it you said, Fanny? I didn't hear you. Apostrophe, no word or sound in answer. Mr. Dombey's watch and Dr. Parker Pep's watch seemed to be racing faster. Now, really, Fanny, my dear, apostrophe said the sister-in-law, altering her position, and speaking less confidently, and more earnestly, in spite of herself, I shall have to be quite cross with you, if you don't rouse yourself. It's necessary for you to make an effort, and perhaps a very great and painful effort which you are not disposed to make. But this is a world of effort, you know, Fanny, and we must never yield when so much depends upon us. Come. Try. I must really scold you if you don't. Apostrophe, apostrophe, the race in the ensuing pause was fierce and furious. The watches seemed to jostle and to trip each other up. Fanny. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Luia, glancing round with a gathering alarm. Only look at me. Only open your eyes to show me that you hear and understand me, will you? Good heaven, gentlemen, what is to be done? Apostrophe, the two medical attendants exchanged a look across the bed, and the physician, stooping down, whispered in the child's ear. Not having understood the purport of his whisper, the little creature turned her perfectly colorless face and deep dark eyes towards him. But without loosening her hold in the least, the whisper was repeated. Mama! Apostrophe, apostrophe, said the child. The little voice, familiar and dearly loved, awakened some show of consciousness, even at that ebb. For a moment, the closed eyelids trembled, and the nostril quivered, and the faintest shadow of a smile was seen. Mama! apostrophe apostrophe cried the child sobbing aloud. Oh dear mama! Oh dear mama! Apostrophe apostrophe, the doctor gently brushed the scattered ringlets of the child, aside from the face and mouth of the mother. Alas, how calm they lay there, how little breath there was to stir them. Thus, clinging fast to that slight spar within her arms, the mother drifted out upon the dark and unknown sea that rolls round all the world. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.